Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. So good to be here with you guys today. Thank you for letting us share with you what we do in Wellspring Kids. We love what we do with kids and families, and it's so good for us to get to have an opportunity to share it with all of you. So thanks for playing along with us today. So far we've had the chance to worship together, to play games together, to laugh a little bit. And so today, right now actually, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing with me. We're going to do a little test this morning. It's not a hard test, so don't overthink it, but I want to show you a series of pictures and ask you to tell me what you see. Okay, so we're going to start with an easy one. What do you guys see in this picture? Okay, I heard a rabbit. I heard a duck. All right, raise your hand if you see a rabbit or a bunny. Okay, raise your hand if you see a duck. How many of you see duck? Way more people see a duck. Wow, y'all are way skewed from everybody else this morning so far. All right, let's do another one. This one's a little different. What do you see? Okay, first I heard vase. Raise your hand if you see a vase. Few of you see vase. How many of you saw first two faces? Okay, vase, face. It rhymes. See what we did there? Okay, let's do one more. This one's a little harder, little bit really tricky for people this morning. What do you see here? Y'all are confused. I hear old lady. How many of you see an old woman? Just a few. A few of you do. How many of you see a young girl, a young woman looking over her shoulder? Okay. How many of you see nothing at all? Some of you look very confused. I've had a couple of people this morning say, I don't know. I don't see either one. So let me help you. If you see the young girl, this is her cheek and her chin, and she's looking back over her shoulder like this, and she has on like a feathery hat sticking up. If you cannot see the old woman, the cheek and the chin of the young woman is the nose of the old lady. Her necklace is the old woman's mouth, and this is her chin right here. Do you see it? Okay, we're getting there. She has like a shawl on her head, like covering her head. You guys see it? All right, so here's the point. No matter what you see, none of you are wrong, okay? Some of you are really focused on that young girl, while others of you are really focused on the old woman. But neither of those answers is wrong. It's just a different perspective. Isn't that just how it is in life? Isn't it so interesting how we can all be looking at the same thing yet see totally different things? Sometimes you could walk into your room, kids, at home. Maybe you walk into your bedroom and to you it looks like perfection. Everything is right where it should be. All your things, you know where to find everything. It's just the way you like it. And it feels so cozy. But then your mom walks in your room or your dad and they're like, this room is a mess. You need to clean it up. Same bedroom, different perspectives. Maybe at school, have you ever had this happen where you are doing an assignment, maybe your pencil breaks or something like that, and you lean over and say to a friend, hey, can I borrow a pencil? Just so happens at that moment, the teacher sees you talking and she gets on to you for talking in class and disrupting the classroom. You know, to you, you just see it as you're trying to complete your assignment. You need a pencil. To the teacher, you're disrupting class. Same situation. Two different perspectives. Isn't that how it is sometimes? We see things one way and someone else sees it completely differently. It can be easy, can it, for us to see what we need and what we want. We have no problem determining what we want, but it can be a little more difficult to see the needs of other people and to understand what they want. Think about that last slice of delicious, gooey chocolate cake that your mom makes and how when she makes that cake, you are dreaming of getting that last piece of chocolate cake and it's so good and you can't wait till it's time for dessert because you want that piece of cake so bad and you go to get it and it's already gone. And you never considered that somebody else might have wanted that last piece of chocolate cake. Maybe someone like your mom who made the cake. You never thought somebody else might want it. Maybe for some of you guys, you've been saving up for months to buy your favorite game on the Xbox, right? And you've been planning with your friends when you're going to get together and you're going to play this game, and you've got it all planned out, and you finally have your money saved up, and you've been talking about it and talking about it with your buddies, and you haven't even stopped to think about the one friend who doesn't even have an Xbox and is going to be pretty bummed out. See, it can be easy for us to see our needs but not consider the needs of other people. Parents, how many of you have ever been cleaning out a closet at home and you've got a pile of old t-shirts and a couple pairs of smelly shoes and you're ready to throw them in the trash, and then your spouse walks in and says, "What are you doing? Those are my work clothes. Do not throw those away." Or, "Those are my college t-shirts. How dare you touch them?" You know, I mean, one situation, but two different perspectives. We don't always stop to think about how someone else might view it and how what their perspective might be. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we do consider the needs of other people, or we do see what they want, but we don't do anything about it. Why do we do that? Why do we see what other people need and we just choose not to help? Maybe it's because it seems too hard, or we're not sure what to do or how to help, or it just seems way too complicated and we know we can't even begin to help somebody, and so we just do nothing. I've definitely felt that way. I know what that feels like, and maybe you do too. Maybe you've seen what other people need and walked away. But that's why I want to point you to this truth this morning, that we can do more together. This morning we've been talking about cooperation and how cooperation is understanding that we can do a lot more, that working together is better than working alone. We can do more together. Did you know that God actually designed us to cooperate with other people? He made us to work with others. That is why God gave Adam a helper named Eve. Adam wasn't making it on his own. He needed a helper. He needed someone to work with and to cooperate with. God knew from the very beginning that we needed to work with other people to accomplish more things and to do more and do better. And so he made us to cooperate. There are stories all throughout the Bible about cooperating. If you've ever been a part of a team, how many of you have ever been on any kind of team, like a sports team or a competition team of some sort? Maybe you've done a project with a group of people at school. Can't you work so much better and get more done when you work with other people? Or if you decorated your house for Christmas this weekend, or you're planning to this week, you can do more when you all work together, or when you work in the yard as a family. It goes faster and better when everybody cooperates. And there's stories like this all throughout the Bible, and I want to point you to one this morning that comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, and it's written by none other than Luke. And Luke compiled all these stories that he knew about Jesus, and he wrote them down so that we could learn from them still today. And so I want to tell you this story because I think it perfectly highlights the example of cooperation and how when we work together, we can do more. So I'm going to bring out one of my friends from Wellspring Kids, one of our student volunteers. David, can you come on out? This is David Kelly. Now, David has grown up in Wellspring Kids, and now he is in Wellspring Students. He grew up in Wellspring Kids before he was taller than me. And now he serves with us every week, and he's a key part of what we do in Wellspring back in our kids program. And so I know that he's going to be able to help me with this morning. One of the things that we love to do in Wellspring Kids every week is to bring our stories to life. We love to bring the Bible to life and to make it engaging and relatable for kids. And so we do that in a lot of different ways, don't we, David? Yeah, yeah, we yeah. like to do like crazy skits,
yeah,
and
I dress
put on
up sometimes.
Costumes. This is costume kid right here. Even if it's not planned, David will go find a costume to put on because he loves to act out different characters, funny voices, whatever we can do to make it fun and exciting for kids, we're all about it. So, David, what I want you to do today is to be a sound effect artist. Do you think you can do that?
I think I can, yeah.
So, like, good. I'm going to be telling the story, and I want you to give us some sound effects. Okay. So let's practice a couple. If I said, he slowly opened the door, you could do, perfect. Perfect. What if I said something like he yelled in anger?
Bah! Bah!
Okay. That's scary even.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to tell this story. I'll narrate and you give the sound effects. Okay, so let's get started. The very first thing that Luke tells us about this particular story, this is from Luke chapter 5, by the way, is that people were coming from all over to this one house. They were walking, traveling on foot, traveling and walking to this one house.
Boom, 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 boom.
Good job. Where Jesus was staying. They might have also been stomping their way there. So I'm joking with you. So they traveled to this one house where Jesus was. And in this house, there were so many people there. There were, you know, townspeople there and religious leaders and teachers of the law all packed into this one house. It was
so crowded. I just want to see
crammed
Jesus.
In there, wall to wall, people crowded. Everywhere. So people were coming to hear Jesus because they had learned that Jesus was healing people. And some of the people that Jesus healed had been really, really sick. I'll just stay over here and tell the rest of the story, David. So some of them had been really sick, and there were these four friends who were in town, and they were not sick, but they had another friend who was paralyzed, which means he couldn't walk. So he couldn't get to Jesus on his own.
Aww.
But these friends were determined that they were going to bring their friend to Jesus.
Yay!
So what they did is they decided that they were going to put their paralyzed friend on a mat, and they were going to bring him to the house where Jesus was teaching that day. So when they got there, they found that the house was so packed full of people that they couldn't get through the door, let alone even get close to Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
They were pretty bummed. But they were not discouraged because they were so determined to get their friend to Jesus that they were willing to work together to overcome any obstacle. So they came up with plan B.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They decided they would climb up on top of the roof. So they started climbing up the roof. Climbed up. Then they had to get their friend up on top of the roof as well. Even with the four of them working together, it took every ounce of energy that they had to get their friend all the way up on top of the roof. So when they finally got him there, they probably paused for a moment to catch their breath and celebrate.
Ta-da!
But they still had a lot of work to do because their plan was to make a hole in the roof and lower their friend down through the roof right into the crowd in front of Jesus. The crowd was going to be stunned. So what they did is, maybe they started making a hole somehow. At that time, the top of the roof would have been
stomping on it. You know?
Yeah, they're or maybe like, just
ding,
stomping.
Ding, ding.
Because it was made of mud and straw, so they could just stomp a
chainsaw.
Chainsaw? They could make a hole somehow in the top of the roof, really creatively if you were with David, if David was with them. And so they made a hole big enough that this man could fit through the hole on his mat. And then they worked together to lower their friend down through the hole.
It's
careful.
Yeah, gotta go a little bit slow. It's heavy.
Careful not to hurt anyone inside the house. So finally they get this man all the way through the roof right in front of Jesus. The crowd was so shocked.
Whoa.
They didn't know what to do. Jesus looked at the man on the mat. And then he looked up at these four friends staring down at him from the roof. And he said this. When Jesus saw that they had faith, he spoke to the man. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, at this time, people didn't expect Jesus to forgive sins. They maybe were beginning to expect him to heal someone, but they didn't think that he would forgive sins. And so there were some religious leaders, some teachers of the law in the room that began to grumble and get angry.
So mad.
There's that angry yelling man we talked about. So they started to get angry that Jesus was healing people. It was so unheard of, and they didn't like it, that he had forgiven this man's sins. And so Jesus looked at these men in the crowd, and this is what he said next. He said, "Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say to a paralyzed man, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. See, while they were expecting maybe that Jesus would heal this man, they were not expecting Jesus to forgive his sins. But Jesus says, I can do both. Neither are too difficult for me. And that's exactly what he did. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And that's exactly what that man did. He stood up. He collected his things, and he went home, David, praising God.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That's crazy.
The people in the crowd, though, were shocked. They were so amazed at everything they had seen, so they were stunned. Exactly. Can you guys thank David for me for helping us tell that story? Good job, bud. So here we had these four friends who had a different perspective. They looked at what was happening around them, and they saw the need of someone else, and they had faith. And not only did they see the need, but they took action to help their friend. Sometimes those needs are closer than we think they are. It doesn't have to be a stranger. It doesn't have to be someone in another country or something we hear about on the news. These four men knew someone, a close friend who needed their help, and they decided that they were going to meet that need, that they were going to be the ones to help. It can be easy to see what we want, but these four guys looked around and said, we know someone who needs help. And even though they faced a lot of obstacles, I mean, their friend couldn't walk. They got to the house that day, and their plan was kind of messed up because they thought they were going to walk him right into the house, and it was so packed they couldn't even get in. But they didn't let that stop them from taking them to Jesus. They came up with another plan, a plan that allowed them to work together to overcome those obstacles so that they could point their friend to Jesus. I don't know how many times you've looked around and seen the needs of others. Maybe it's a friend at school. Maybe it's somebody at school that's lonely or a new kid who doesn't have many friends. And you and your friends could work together to help accept that friend and bring him in and make him feel loved and welcome. Maybe you know someone in your neighborhood who has been sick or had surgery or something like that, and your family could meet the needs of that person by doing something nice for them. Maybe you know someone in the community or someone at your school who needs your help, and it feels too hard. But I bet if you were like these four friends and you worked with other people to meet their needs, you could do something to help them, and it might even be something that changed their life. You know, those friends that day thought they were just bringing their other friend to be healed. They didn't expect that he was going to also have his whole life changed when Jesus forgave his sins. You never know how extending and reaching out to help someone else is going to change their life. Just like those four friends that day, they changed that man's life because they worked together to help him. When we cooperate, when we work together, we can do so much more. So I want you to remember this truth this week, that we can do more together. When you leave here today, I want to challenge you to go home and think about somebody. Maybe talk about it with your family. Talk about it with some friends. Identify someone you know who needs help. It could be a close friend. It could be a family member, a relative, or someone in your neighborhood, as we said. Maybe you've seen a need in our community. Identify someone who needs your help. And then I want you to work with your family to answer this question. How can we help? Because when we work together, we can do more. We can do more together than I can do alone. We can do more together than you can do alone. We can do more when we work together, when we cooperate, because that's how God made us. It's pretty hard to meet the needs of other people. It's pretty hard to overcome obstacles alone. But when we work with others, we can do so much more. And we can even point other people to Jesus. Maybe you have a friend you'd like to invite to church. Kids, you can't drive. You're going to need the help of your parents to bring that friend to Wellspring Kids with you. You could identify someone you'd like to bring to Wellspring Kids and work together with your family to get them here. In a couple of weeks, we have our Love and Beef Christmas offering coming up that you've heard us talking about, and we're so excited. Do you know that when we all give a little bit, we can do a lot more? You, even kids in this room, even our Wellspring Kids, you can give. And that little bit of us all working together helps us do so much more to point other people to Jesus, to meet the needs of other people. So this week, identify someone you know who needs help and then ask, how can we help? And remember that when we work together, we can do more together. We can do more together. Before we close, I want to pray for you and ask God to give you a different perspective this week, that you wouldn't just think about what you need and what you want, but that you would have eyes to meet the needs of those around you and that you'd be willing to cooperate and work with others to point them to Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we could come into your house and have fun and laugh and just play. Thank you that you love to see your kids enjoying life and enjoying you. And I'm so thankful for a church that lets us do that, that embraces kids and families and calls this place home and allows us to just touch the lives of so many kids. And God, I pray that we would have a different perspective this week as we look around, that our eyes would be open to other people's needs and that we would be willing to take action, that we would have faith that you can move and that we would work together, that we would cooperate with people around us that we know to do even more than we could do alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.